announcements. Not going through any of that this morning. This morning was supposed to have been a children's morning and praise and worship, but I asked that that would be held off for a week. Got several out of town. I got something I'm struggling with on my heart. But I guess the ones that need it are sitting here. There's something about the brokenhearted. The Bible says that God draws near or is close to the brokenhearted. And I struggle with the faith overall, if that makes sense. And if you'll just hear me out this morning, I want to talk to you from my heart. And it's not that I struggle with my faith. It's not that I struggle in the belief of. I just say that I struggle over the faith. Jude would put it like this. He said, although I wanted to come and talk to you, and I wanted to write to you about our faith. He turned his letter to exhort the people that they may contend for the faith. We have so much going on in this world. We have so much. Going on in our families, our relationships, our churches. And if Jude was never timely, he's timely now. That we don't fall or find ourselves chasing what can be considered a false doctrine, one that so many people dramatically run after when they're looking for a peace, a hope, a fulfillment of sorts. And when we allow ourselves to fall into the traps of the enemy, and we begin setting aside what the gospel is, and search for those things that appease the flesh, I've lived too long and I've seen too much within church. I can almost set patterns when I begin to recognize the enemy at work. I was talking to Debbie yesterday, and it's so cyclical. No matter the words that I hear from people, no matter how much I want to believe that they're speaking from a pure heart, I see the signs. I hear the voice of the enemy. I've heard over time well, God's asked me to move on, and God's calling me to another place, and God, and we use God as our escape route. We use God as our ticket to exit. We find ourselves pulling away and stepping away. And if I had time, I could go down a list with you. And I could show you that list on how the process started, what transpired in the process, what they did during the process, and where they are now. And it all came back to they followed. The Bible says that in the end times that men would make their own teachers. Because of their itchy ears. Because of a selfish desire. See, faith isn't like your workplace. You see, faith isn't like a friendship. Because those things come and go. But faith is always and has been and will be eternal. Because the gospel will never change. The Bible says that heaven and earth will pass away. But my word. And we have allowed this false doctrine that's been presented to us by the world and by our experience and what we sense in and through our emotions. We've allowed that false doctrine to pull us and to draw us away from what God's intention and what God's plan is for the church. We have forgotten that it was Christ that started the church. It wasn't you and I. We don't have the choice in how the church is to be run. We don't have a choice in what the Bible says. And we can't go and contradict. We can't come against the word. But because our feeling, our emotion, our drive, we begin pulling things from context so that we can use that for an artillery when it comes to combating our departure from the faith, and we not know it because we've not set the watchman on the wall. We've not guarded our hearts. We've allowed everything in this world to draw us and to woo us. And we act as if it's no harm, no foul. Can I tell you, there's going to come a day. There's going to come a day that he will spew the lukewarm from his mouth. He would say, I would rather you be cold than lukewarm. And my heart is heavily burdened because we have stopped contending for the faith. We will contend and we will fight for what we want, for what we desire. And the whole time we don't recognize we're losing our children. We don't even worry about passing the baton. Do you know that this faith has been some 20 centuries and before. It has been going from generation to generation to generation. And you and I are going to be held accountable of whether we passed the baton or not. See, if you don't know anything about relay races, when we ran relay races in school, it wasn't the one that was grabbing the baton's responsibility to get the baton. It was that which was being passed. It was your responsibility to make sure that the baton would hit the hand. It was your responsibility that the baton was not dropped. What are we doing in our churches? Because we have lost the baton. We've dropped the past. We allow our children and the younger generation to dictate. We will even allow the children that doesn't know any better. Children that don't know any better, we will allow them to pull us from within congregations, from within truth-speaking churches, and we will allow them to pull us out because, oh, we want something better for them. It's a lie from the enemy, because your child at that age does not know what they've not been taught. But we are allowing, because of all the glitz and the glimmer, all the smoke and the mirrors, what has happened to the souls of our children? There's something about the brokenness in us that causes us to call back out to God. David was a broken man. At one time he said, God, he's wanting him. And David was a man after God's own heart. But God would allow David to walk through a brokenness so that David would look for him. So that David would cry out to him. Create in me, O God. What's happened to the church? What's happening to the faith? Are you carrying the baton? Are you even concerned about passing what it is that's been passed to you? Are you concerned with passing it along to your children? The culture and the tradition has overwhelmed its churches. Man, when we begin to sacrifice everything that God has done for us for the mere satisfaction of our own selfish desires, what a horrible day. And because you and I have stopped contending for the faith, we're losing a generation. Do you not think you're walking Bible? People talk about, man, to live in Bible times. Sweetheart, you're living in Bible times right now. There is a great falling away, and it's talking about you and I. It's not talking about the sinner that's never been in. It's talking about the ones that once believed and now they have walked away. Oh, they still go to church on Sunday. They fill sanctuaries on Sunday. And they go home with an empty heart. They go home to broken families. They step back into the wicked ways. See, there's things in you and I that need to be broken. The selfishness, the pride, the arrogancy. There's things in us that need to be broken. We need to be calling out just like David. Some of the best times that you and I will ever have is in those moments of being broken. Of being to a point that we feel left out, that we feel we have been forgotten, that we feel we don't have fulfillment. Those will be the best moments of mine and your life. Because it will draw us that much closer. We've taken everything for granted. Y'all knew that when you come, the doors would be unlocked and you could... What happens when there's guards posted on doors? Oh, Pastor. Pastor. There's people getting their heads cut off just because they say they believe. And you and I are so arrogant that we contend for the faith when it's convenient. We will worship God on Sundays when the music's playing and live like hell when the music stops. How many songs did you sing over him this week? How often did you look at your walk to ensure you were stepping in the right place? Guard your heart. It's talking about setting the watchman. It's not just putting someone over that to see it. The watchman is God. He's our watchman. But we are to go in and we are to remove the bitterness. We are to remove the gossip. We are to remove the hatred. That's how we guard our heart. We don't guard our heart by not keeping something in or not letting something in. We guard our heart by pushing things out. I've said it not to get light in this, because this is very serious this morning. I don't want to get so light in this. But we are allowing things in our life to supersede the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. You want power to prevail. You want power to succeed. You want power to overcome, but yet you will not let him in. You won't let him any closer than a Sunday. You won't let him any closer than a Wednesday. You won't let him any closer than you just stop cursing. But you... We think that we're to make... This is why I get so frustrated in this thing when people say, you have to ask Jesus into your heart. Like you're inviting him into your life. Why don't you ask permission to enter into his? Because see, when we ask him to enter into ours, we give him limitations. You want to serve God, but not all the way. After all, you've got a dinner appointment at 6:30 that you can't miss. It's convenient Christianity. There's no contention. There's no fighting. I wrote this down for a come out because I knew that my mind was about this long. And I wouldn't be able to remember contend is only used one time in the New Testament. One time. In this verse. And it means to agonize over. To struggle with intense determination. How intense are you with your children and your family, not losing the faith, not walking away from the faith, but fighting for the faith, agonizing over the faith? When is the last time that you got on your face and you begin to cry out to God Almighty for your family, for the faith in your family, for the church, for the faith in your church? When's the last time that you agonized over that? Or is that asking too much? I'm sorry. It's now I lay me down to sleep. When's the last time you entered warfare? Oh, you think it's... I'm sorry. I don't mean to offend you. You thought it was a game. You thought it was if I live a decent life. You know, there's so many good people in hell right now. And there will be more to come. Good people, better than you. This might be a little strong this morning. I didn't put no creamer in the coffee. I didn't have time. It was poured in a cup, and he said, here, drink. We will allow things to creep into our home that causes division and we don't even see it. Oh, I'm sorry. It doesn't have to be division between husband and wife or father and kids or mother and kids. It doesn't. That's not the division I'm talking about. I'm talking about the division of the faith. You missed me. I must have lost you somewhere. I'm talking about the things that we are allowing now in our homes that's causing our faith. We're being divided and severed and cut away from our faith. Oh, it is precise. The enemy has precision too. He's doing it nice and slow. He's taking just a layer at a time. See, he's exposing the next layer of skin. Just a little bit at a time. And you're not knowing. You don't know that your second layer is being sunburnt too. Just a little bit at a time. If he can get you just to do this week. And he may not even come back and get on you about doing it again until next month. But if he can get you to do it one more time. If he can just get you to feel like, oh, it's no big deal. After all, it's just one. You fill in the blank. I'm not coming after you if you take a drink of alcohol, but it's just one drink. I'm not coming after you if it's a cigarette. It's just one cigarette. I'm not coming after you if you miss a Sunday or a Wednesday. It's just one service. When's the last time you contended for the faith? Parents, listen. When's the last time you went to war for your children? Fathers, when's the last time that you separated yourself from family and went to war and you took the darts for your children and for your spouse and for your home? When's the last time you agonized over it? Or did you just hit the alarm clock and, well, today's another day? Not knowing that while you slept, the enemy was well at work. We've stopped contending for the faith. We desire for our needs to be met. I hope I'm making your spirit man just get so mad at me right now. I hope he's standing up and telling you to stand up and walk out. We don't know how close time is. We don't know when the alarm clock is going to go off. But boy, we are so comfortable in us that it doesn't even matter. Will you think about some of the choices that you made this week? Just play them back in your mind. Some of the choices that you made. If you had a chance to do it all over, knowing what you know now, knowing that time's coming to an end, knowing that it's possible that your hot coffee may become warm, would you do the same choices? Would you react the same way? Would you think the same thought? Would you say the same thing? Would you gossip about it again? Would you be rebellious one more time? Would you be stubborn yet again? Knowing that there's going to come a day that you have to stand. See, I don't know how to express this, but you're going to stand before the Maker, before the Creator. You're going to stand before God Almighty. You're going to stand before the Ancient of Days. You are going to stand before the one that gives you breath and takes it away. And you have to give an account. Did you contend for the faith? We're spoiled. We think there's churches all across America, just like a Bible-believing church, a Holy Spirit-filled church. We think there's churches all across the world like that. Can I tell you that where the churches started, in Egypt and in Turkey, I mean, when we get to there, and those were the churches in Turkey, and now there's more mosque, there's not even a hint, a wisp of Christianity that the Muslims have taken the streets. And here we are thinking life is good, life is grand, faith is surviving, faith is dying. And we set back. No argument. I hate hearing the terminology conservative Christians. I'm going to smack you in the mouth when you say conservative Christians. You better stop being conservative. The Bible says that it's upon this rock I shall build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That means the gates of hell can't withstand our subduing. But we're setting back because we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, and we don't want nobody to put us on the news. We don't want to be known for that Bible thumper. I'm not saying you have to be arrogant and a butthead. Did I say it in church? But since when is it okay to hang rainbow flags around your children's elementary school and it's not okay for them to have the word read to them? I know. Charlie, I'm one of them old fogies now. I put myself right in one of the old fogies. I used to have Bible study. We had Bible class, Bible school on a Friday when I went to school. I remember her, precious woman.
Walk in with the little Gideon red Bibles. I remember it, man, just like it was yesterday. And we would set at the chairs, we'd set at our desks, and she would read scripture. And we would color pictures. Take them home, show mama. Stand and do the Pledge of Allegiance. Well, you do it now, they're going to beat you up in the courtyards. Can't say Jesus, but you can say meow. And you think that the faith is thriving. It is being stripped from you and your children. There's no more contention for the faith. God's looking for His people. He's looking for that remnant that's willing to stand up and do it regardless. I used examples, and sometimes it may not be good examples. But you think that you follow Jesus. You think that you're in love with Him until somebody comes and takes your baby from your lap and puts a gun to her head and says, "Now you deny Christ or I'll kill her." But you think that's far-fetched. It's one thing for somebody to put a sword to your neck and tell you that. Something different when your children's involved. Will you deny Him then? Come on, it's simple to play that stuff in your mind. Oh, yes, I would. It's simple to play that stuff in your mind. I've often wondered, God, I wonder if I could just bring somebody that nobody knows that just comes into the, that just rushes into the church and snatches somebody's baby just to show. And then I said, boy, that would be cruel, wouldn't it? But you, when will you get the seriousness of what we face? We think that just because it's that Jude's going after the false gospel, the false teachers, that it's all about the men that was preaching. Can I tell you that the false gospel comes in a variety of ways? That it's okay. We act like now the hospitals tell us what we are. Like we're awarded. I'm a boy. I'm a girl. You are who God created you to be. And no, God didn't. Listen to me. If God intended on you to be a woman, you would sit when you went to the restroom. Pastor, you're going far, but no, I'm not. The problem is the church ain't went far enough. See, you don't want the pastor to intrude on something like that to teach the children, to let them know this is how a man acts and this is how a woman acts, but you don't want to do nothing about it in your own home. But yet you put the pressure on the pastor. He's got 2 hours this week to change the entire family in 2 hours. And the best possible scenario, you've only got them for about 10 hours a week. You see your struggle with the 10 hours that you have, but yet you pressure the pastors to fix it in 2 hours, and if he doesn't get it, well, I'm just not being fed, or my children aren't being fed. I will go look at another church. So you go find another one. Guess what they get? 2 hours a week. I'm so glad I'm allowing that stuff to fall off of me, because it's not my responsibility to raise your children. It's my responsibility to teach you the word and for you to raise your children. So don't, listen, don't blame society about your children. Don't blame other people about your children. You stand up and you take responsibility for your children. But we won't do it. We've let everything else in this world come and just illegally come into our home. And they're consuming the hearts and the minds of our children. And we're setting back. Your heart should be broken this morning for the faith, not for your feelings. Not for what it is that the church can give you. Sound like that president. Or who was it? Who was that? It's not what that's not what the country can do for you, but what you can do for the country. That's what y'all sound like coming into church. Well, the church can't do nothing for you. Charlie, I'm struggling making sure you got coffee and donuts. I don't even want to give you that. Boy, what a mean pastor. Man, it used to be you just took... You just took a little cup of coffee in a foyer, and now it's had to be turned into cafes. I mean, you gotta have Starbucks in the church to have it happening. Well, what is it that you offer my children? Hang on a second. I'm just looking to see. She gave me the Baptist finger. She wasn't, it was just one of those. We call it the Baptist finger. I was just looking to see if I see a new face. I know it wasn't you, so I'm okay. See, y'all don't know the private messages we get. You don't know the emails that we get. I've had a woman try to just dissect me through email because we allowed the Red Cross to do the blood drive here one time. And she crucified me. I can't believe that the church would allow such a thing. Do you think that that is what God would want? I said, well, unfortunately, ma'am, it was the blood of Christ that allowed you and I to live. So I would say that this is nothing but a response to an action. He gave, why should we not? She didn't respond. I've had them call and ask, what do you have for my children? Do you have a softball team or basketball league? No. Well, I can't believe most churches. We're not most churches. They didn't come. Well, how do I check my children in while I have Bible study? Yeah, you're not coming. You're not coming. It's not a daycare, sweetheart. They go to learn about Jesus too. I didn't hold my breath for that one to be here. Y'all don't understand what comes through. I don't know. Why does the church need anything other than a place of prayer, a place of worship, and a place for His Word and His teaching and ministering? Why does a church need anything outside of that? God forbid if we did set all the children in here and they had to be in here from beginning to end. Y'all would absolutely lose your mind. Those with children, y'all would leave. You would leave. Because they would become a distraction to you. And somebody else that's snotty would turn around and look at you like, would you please keep your baby quiet? I'm trying to listen. You would leave. And Jesus the whole time is saying, move out of the way and let them come. You can't handle the truth. I preached holding a child to keep the child from crying. She'll tell you. Quit pinching my grandson. You want to get me mad? The baby was being a distraction to some of the old snooties. So I went to the mother and said, give me your child. And I took the child and I put the child in my arms, and the child went to sleep, didn't say nothing, and I preached. I'm glad little Miss Snooty Booty had an enjoyable service. You would leave. Because it wouldn't be convenient for you. I can only do it to her and Debbie. I'm sorry. There was a couple points that I wanted to hit. It means to agonize over. It means to struggle with intent. Determination. We won't struggle for the faith like that. Your biggest contention for the faith is getting your lazy tail out of bed on a Sunday. Debbie's not in here. I'm even more free now than I ever been. Because that's the one that would get on me. Don't be mean to... Listen... Sometimes, sweetheart, sir, you need to be shaken. If you're coming in here and you're comfortable because, oh, it's such a good time, and Pastor, he's just so funny, he can keep my attention, and blah, 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 and you're missing everything else, I'm doing a horrible job for the kingdom, and I need to bow out. Because your soul means more to me than your feelings. I've said it before, I'll say it again. I want you to go to heaven mad at me. Don't go to hell loving me. Go to heaven mad at me. Please, don't even hold my hand when we get up there and surround the table singing Kumbaya before the dinner. That's fine. Just skip around my back and hold somebody else. It's fine. I don't exchange seats with your bride. I'm fine. But you're there. And I'll rejoice in that. You could be mad because Pastor said, listen, you can't have that stuff in your house. You need to get it fixed. It's the ones that's looking to you. Their life depends on it. you're losing and you don't even know it. We want things to be a certain way. We won't sacrifice to help them be that way. You want the pastor to be in a good mood on a Sunday so that you can walk away feeling good. But all you'll do is gossip about him. All you'll do is add weight to his shoulders during the week. See, you don't understand. That's part of contending for the faith. You should want me, according to Scripture, to rule over you, not in that sense, y'all get all excited in that, but to rule over you in love and gratitude and peace and joy, not coming in just being looking at you going, I know what you said last week and I just don't even want to talk to you this week. You don't want your pastor doing that, but do you not know? Do you not know? Listen, okay, I'm getting ready to help somebody. If you will gossip to someone and they will listen, they're going to repeat what you said. Guess where it goes? And then there's your pastor going, there's no way. And now your pastor goes home broken. Not mad at you. Ticked off at the enemy, but not mad at you. So now I get to lose a few more hours of sleep contending for the faith. How am I contending for the faith? Because I'm keeping discord out of the house. Wouldn't y'all like it if I did bring you donuts and give you coffee? Quit making me mad so I keep it. I'm joking. I'm not keeping it away from. Did you just shake your head like I was keeping it from you? Look, every time there's cake or something out there, I think you've eaten. But I don't want you putting me on a pedestal.
No.
I'm just making that clear.
Yeah. No, phrasing in a good way without lifting up to a higher standard.
Lead them to Jesus. Don't invite people to church to hear your pastor. Invite your church to introduce them to Jesus. Because of all the people that in here that make up the body of Christ, that they're loved on when they come in,
that they're not snubbed. They're not looked down on. But yet they can come in and be a part. I've got nothing to do with this. I'm a donkey that was going down the right road at the right time and give in. Lead them to Jesus. My heart is being torn. Because all we do is play church. I get so irritated because I've even got to listen to my wife and my daughter trying to put stuff together, trying to put principles and trying to put things in line, giving you programs and step-by-steps. Whatever happened to us being able to come in and just love? See, everything would work out if we could just love. I should be able to come up to you out of love and go, hey, I know that there's somebody in here this morning that's having a real hard time and they want to hear Jesus right now. And they really want to talk to Jesus. And what I want to do is to be able to allow them that opportunity. So what I'm going to do is, if you don't mind, I'd like to take your child and I'm going to go back and put her in some precious arms and let somebody minister to your child so that the one that you brought with you to church isn't distracted by the one that you're holding. No. It's an example. Mm-hmm. It's an example. Yeah. But see, if you're introduced to that type of love, that's not offensive. It's not offensive. But it's when I have to deal with those of you that want to look down your nose, those of you that want to be all self-centered. It's when I bring correction to you or I try to intercede for you so that you can get the most of what God has for you. And you take offense to it and you walk out that back door and I never see you again. And then you get mad and you want to talk about me on the street because I didn't come after you. If you get mad because I didn't come after you because you ain't in church, that's your problem. You take that up with God. God, give me an assignment to shepherd those that desire a closer walk with Him. And that's my intention. If you don't desire it, so be it. But you're not going to walk out of here saying that I didn't give it to you. You're not going to walk out of here and say that I didn't love you. She doesn't know whether to cry or just hold on to me. Want your mama back? Huh? Want your mama back? Are you okay? We'll probably be okay. I'll give you back to your mama. Just to be on the safe side. If you can take them when they don't cry and then give them back when they're not crying, that's building a bond. Come here, I'll hold you too. That's a big dude. He made me very uncomfortable the first time I hugged him. Because it was like, I just took it for what it was worth, Jeff. I hugged back, and I knew it would be over in a second, but he holds on. And it's kind of, he heard that a couple times, he let go. I want to see this room light up with Christ in you.
I don't want to see you coming and letting the enemy play on your mind. Do they love me? Do they really mean that? I want you to know that when somebody speaks to you out of this house, it's because they mean it. And they're doing it out of love for you. Not to harm you, but to help you. That's part of contending for the faith. Enough of the church play. Enough of this on Sunday and that on Monday.
Yeah.
It's my index finger for those of you that cannot see. But you knew what I meant.
Yes.
I wonder why. But there is a saying. There's a reason behind that middle finger. Y'all do know that, right? I'm getting ready to give you children some education. This doesn't make you a thug by being able to flip somebody off. It makes you look ignorant. Because what it really meant was back in the days when they would have the wars, and they had the longbow shooters, when they were able to shoot, when they got captured, when the longbow shooters would get captured, they would cut their middle fingers off so they couldn't pull the bow back, so they weren't a threat any longer. So when that middle finger came about was when they would come rushing the enemy and they would hold up the middle finger, letting them know that they've still got what it takes. See, now you got some education. Now you can tell thug life.
Thug life.
Right? Now you can tell them the reason why. Now there's another one, but I'm not going to tell you the other one because it's a little more appropriate for adults in a private setting than it is in church in a corporate setting with young ears. But see, as you get educated and as you become more knowledgeable, it's amazing how things don't offend you. I laugh when people flip me off. I'm like, you probably don't even own a bow, never shot one in your life. And they look at me like I'm stupid. No. This is church, Pastor. Okay, I got it. I felt that. A couple of people went, settle down, preacher. I felt that. I didn't do any of this to make you mad at all. Like I said, this was a cup of hot coffee that was poured to me. I don't drink it, so I shared it with you. But this is the Holy Spirit calling for the people of Christ to contend for the faith. Don't allow things around you to lose what someone before you prayed so hard for. I know some of you think that you're so holy that it didn't take somebody. Trust me, somebody put snot and tears in the seat for you. Probably on the carpet that you're walking on. And they probably didn't clean it because they didn't care at that moment. I'd done that in a church one time and I got up and I was totally embarrassed. But I had more snot and tears in that seat. And I went, can't nobody sit in that. And I moved it all the way to the very end where I was praying at. And I told the pastor, if you want to clean it, you can. But there's snot and tears in that seat for everybody in here. Contend for the faith. Matt, I want you to play that song that I give you. And this is what I want you to do. If this touched you, if this has caused you to think, if this is you, I want you to get to the altar this morning. I want us to get to the altar as a group, and I want us to contend for the faith. First, let's contend for our own, that we not let everything in this world draw us. Let's not look for someone to scratch our itchy ears, but let's set back. Let's be corrected. Let's be paddled sometimes. Let's get our life together so that in that day that we can look at God and we can go, yes, sir, I contended for the faith. That's why my children are there. That's why my children's children are there. And it's not about contending for the church. It's about contending for your faith. But I promise you, I've seen it. I've watched it, and I'm telling you, there is a cycle that comes with it, and there is a written program that's written by the hand of the enemy that causes you to take one step at a time, and you walk away from the faith. You're not just leaving a church. You hear me?
Yes.
You're not just leaving a church. You're walking away from your faith. Not because of the church. I don't know how to express this to you. I really need some help. I don't know how to express this to you. But when you don't grow where you're planted, don't you dare blame it on. There's not a basketball team for the youth. Don't you dare blame it. Well, they don't do praise and worship, but twice a month. Don't you? Where do you feel you before you come here? See, what my struggle is, most of you have been filled up by everything out there for the whole week. And you come here, and I've got like a chance, it's like a 90% chance that I'm going to offend you, because I'm trying to push truth into you. And you're sitting there and you're contending for everything that you've been filled up with this week because you've gossiped about it. And everybody's talking about it. And you're all living off of. And then you get here and I'm trying to break it. Look, how do I know what you go through? Because I go through it. That's why some people think I'm talking right to them every time I'm talking. It's because I'm sitting right where you're sitting. You just see me up here, but I'm sitting right there. Because I got to find myself going, oh, no, 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 no. No, I'm not. Nope, I don't care. Nope, I don't want to hear it. Nope, I got to walk away. Nope, I'm not doing it. I got to say no 1,000 times a day, and sometimes I miss it and say, okay, it's just one. But you need to contend. Don't let your house fall because of a trick of the enemy. My chest is tight. Don't let the enemy win. You're opening yourself up, man. When you go out on your own, I've told Megan, I've told my son, I've told him before, and I'm telling you, if you walk out from underneath your covering to go do what they call shop, looking, going from here to here to here to here to here to here to here, the wanderers, because they can't get appeased. So they wander from this church to that church, to this church to that church, to this church to that. Don't have a covering. You know how many darts you eat every day? You know how much stuff that you take on every day? I told Matt when he wanted to marry Megan, I said, here's the deal. She doesn't just become your wife. You become her covering. So now all the darts that I took, all the stuff that I got beat up on every morning before she left, all day during the day, all of those things that would come against my daughter, I took. Now you take them. Still want to get married? It's a lot to contend with. But we take everything for granted and we take it so lightly. And then we bring children into the world. Now it gets harder because now you don't just have the woman, you've got your children. Oh, I'm sorry, and you. It's a lot of weight on a man. I'm not saying that women don't warfare for the husband. I pray to God you do. I pray to God you'll grab your husband by the head, just like my wife did last night. Slap me on both sides of the naked head. I went, she said, I'm just praying for you. I went, he ain't got to be so aggressive. And she said, Lord, let him sleep. Let his mind be at peace with you. If he hears anything tonight, let it be you. And I looked at it and I said, that's unfair. That's an unfair prayer. Because he likes talking to me early in the morning. And I got to get up. So will you do that this morning? Will you come? Don't hurt yourself getting up. Don't go too fast. But will you come? See, contend for your family this morning. Contend for this house. Contend for the faith, because it's all there. It's all for the faith. Because if you don't contend for your children, then your children will run astray. But if you contend and raise them up in the way they should go, I'll help y'all. Y'all can do this thing. I probably shouldn't take it off in church, Charlie. That's probably, let me put it back on. Miss Linda, I'm sorry. I was taking my belt off. I'm sorry. Miss Linda said, now, Pastor. She got one too? I'm sorry. I shouldn't do that. So I told y'all, she's not in here. Well, my wife's not in here, boy. And you can't tell her anything because you ain't got no proof.